Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwee. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He is a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
I want to continue quickly this morning on the subject, growing by joining. Amen. I want to talk about that this morning. And we're talking about the place of fellowship in explosive growth. Hallelujah. We are living in a self-absorbed and self-centered society. You know, and this self-absorbed and self-centered society is designed to isolate people more and more from each other. You know, if you look around, you will see how this is working. And I'm going to quickly show you the greatest tools of isolation that are around, that are helping us to isolate ourselves from one another without even realizing it. Number one is television. Ever since television came into the picture, isolation has increased. Yes. Then next to television is DSTV. You see, there is television and then there is DSTV. Those are two different things. DSTV operates in a certain way that today you can have your channel in your room. I have my own. We have different TVs in the room, in the house. Then everybody is in their rooms. We watch different things. We don't have family time. And things can be going very wrong in the house and nobody knows about it. Yes. Because of television and DSTV. Another strong tool of isolation is social media. Social media today, you will find two people that are sitting next to each other. They don't know each other's names because they are heavily involved in social media. I'm guilty of this, and we all are guilty of it. But this social media has isolated us away from our children, away from our loved ones. Like, you are in the house, but you are on your phone the whole time. So you are in the house, but you are isolated. You are isolated. This is not to make you feel better or anything. It's rather to help you see that this way of going is what we are talking about. Another way of isolation is, you know, the cell phones that we have, the tablets. Then a big one is your earphones. Every time you put your earphones on, you enter your own world. A different world. True or not true?
True.
Yeah. Your earphones. And this generation, they have designed earphones in such a way they are stylish. They put them on top of their head like horns. They put them in their neck. And the earphones of today don't have cords, so it's cordless. So you can just hold it like you are holding, you know, a loaf of bread. And it's cool. It looks cool to hold it. It's Bluetooth. You just connect it to your device and then it starts playing on your head. Technology is great. I don't despise technology. But I want you to realize that technology has also brought some serious challenges. One of them is isolation. Then we have things like PlayStations in our houses. Those of us who have PlayStation, I don't have PlayStation, maybe you do. And there are many other things that I don't have time to go through, but you know them. These things have isolated husband and wife, mother and children, brother and sister, brother and brother. We are in the same house, but my phone is closer to me than my father is closer to me. True or not true?
True?
Very true. Today, our cell phones have become more important than anything else. And Satan has used that tool to bring serious isolation. Serious isolation. We are far from one another, even though we are in the same house. And then you just woke up one morning, somebody committed suicide in the house. I mean, we heard the story of our young brother in here in Mukwase. This guy, he was in the house like everybody else. No one knew what he was doing, because he's always on his phone, you know. He doesn't talk to the people in the house. He's always on his phone, always on his phone. And you know, sometimes we as parents, we just think, oh, he's just on his phone. But you don't know what he's busy with the phone. You don't know what he's busy doing with the phone. When this young man died by taking his own life, then they started checking his phone. They realized that he started telling people months ago that he was going to take his life. But they didn't take him serious. Yeah. He was already saying certain things on Facebook. His WhatsApp status was somewhere. Isolation caused the people to not care about him, even though they were in the same house. So when we talk like this, I don't expect you, I know you're not going to kill yourself. You are very clever than that. But the problem is, there are other things that you might bring in through isolation. And that's why I want to teach you on the importance of you to join yourself with other people. The importance of you not isolating yourself. We started by saying a few weeks ago that man was not created for isolation. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that man should be alone. It is not good. Tell your neighbor, it's not good for you to always be alone. Ask him, why are you always alone? What is wrong with you? What's your problem? Are you afraid to ask him that question? Some people are always alone. Eat alone. Walk alone. Bath alone. You must never bath with another person if they are not your wife, please. Don't start. They even talk alone. Worse, they smile alone. Just in their bedroom by themselves. We are in the kitchen, we just hear somebody laughing in the room. We don't know what is going on. It's foolishness. Foolishness has started. You must come and share. Tell your neighbor, go and share the joke with us. You must share the joke. Amen. You shall not be alone one more day of your life. We've learned so many things about this 2 weeks ago. All these teachings are available in our podcast app. If you missed church 2 weeks ago, don't worry. The message was recorded. A very powerful message that can help you. Yes. I preached that message this morning in Alab Mukwasi. And there was a guy sitting in front. I'm telling you, I could see something is happening to that boy. As I'm talking about this isolation. The guy could, he was restless. You know, he was just, as I'm talking about this thing, that you keep isolating yourself. You are always isolating yourself. When we are all going this way, you are going this way. Yeah. You always see something we don't see. Why? Why? There is a spirit behind it. And that spirit is a spirit of no progress. Wants to keep you away from the help. Away from sound judgment. You see people carrying so much pain in their hearts. No one to share it with. No one who can help them. Because they are always alone. God didn't create you to be alone. God doesn't want you to live a lonely life. I said God doesn't want you to live a lonely life. When you start living a lonely life, you are living a short life, because people who are lonely end up depressed. And then after depression is suicide. And many other things that we don't need to mention here. It is not good to be alone. And I'm not saying that you must live in the house. You can be in the house with people, but you are alone. You are not talking to us. You are not opening your heart to us. We don't know you. Your phone knows you more than we know. That's a problem. That's a problem. You know, one of my daughters, she leaves me in the house, and I fought that thing with her. I fought it. Because I knew if I don't fight this thing, one day I will wake up here and I'll find a calamity in the house. And I sit there and I say, you cannot stay in the room the whole time. Why is it that when we are watching TV, you are in the room? What is wrong with us watching TV with you? Why? If you don't deal with it, it keeps growing. It keeps growing. And you get cut from help. Do you know that God has help for you? Whatever your problem is this morning, there is help available for you. There is help. If you can just open up. If you can just allow us in. But I tell you, some people, they have put so much security to their hearts. That is dog number one, dog number two, dog number three, 5-meter wall, 7 cameras right here, 3 guns here, and then a knife here. Oh, you can never get to their hearts. Never. They never allow you to close. They shut you down. Remember when you say, hello, what? What do you want? What do you want? You're coming. You're starting again. You're starting again. Listen, I will never let you in. Yeah. And we become suspicious. Even when somebody does something good to you, you are suspicious. What does he want? What does she want? They think I'm stupid. I know. They want something. They want something from me. Never let you in. You are isolating yourself. And the more you are isolating yourself, the further from the help you are going. I came to deliver you from that spirit. God sent me in your life to tell you isolation is not right. It is not good for man. A woman is a man. If you write woman, you will see that is woo and man. So there is man in a woman. So when we say it's not good for the man, we are talking about everybody, including a woman. A woman is just a wow man. You understand? Like, wow. A wow man. A man that when you see her, you say, wow. That's all. When you see a man, you say, I will. When you see a woman, you say, wow. That's all. That's all. So you are a man inside a woman. So it's not good for a man or a woman to be what? Alone. It's not good. It's not good. I say it's not good. And I want you to know that the Bible was written for our instruction. The things that are in the Bible are there to teach us something. People look at the Bible as it's just a book. It's not a book. It's a manual of instructions. If you follow the Bible, you will never go wrong. Now, when we look at the Bible, we see that the first Christian, the first people that were believers before you and me, do you understand? We didn't start Christianity. Some people started it before us. When Jesus went back to heaven, some people started coming together as a church. We need to study how those people used to live. Because they are our compass. Or shall I say our ruler. What they did, and it succeeded. If we do the same, we too will succeed. Now let's look at how the early Christians used to live. The book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42. The Bible there says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Praise the name of Jesus. That's number one. Number two, and fellowship the breaking of bread and in prayers. So the first Christians were doing four things. How many things?
Four.
I can't hear you. How many things?
Four things.
I still can't hear you. How many things?
Four things.
Number one was what? They continued in what? Let's say it together. They continued in? Apostles' doctrine is the teachings you get every Sunday morning. For example, in Alive City Church, I am God's apostle here. Do you understand? I am the person God planted in this church. So the members of Alive City Church must continue in my teachings. Some people start with the teachings of the pastor, but they don't continue with the teachings of the pastor. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you continue in my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's when you continue that you become free. Many people come once a week, once a month. How can you continue by coming once a month? Except for job-related reasons. God forbid, some people come once a year. How can you continue in the teachings of your apostle? If you are in this church and you've been coming very regularly, I salute you. I salute everybody in this church that except for some unforeseen circumstances, you are always here. You are doing the right thing. Tell your neighbor, I must see you next week. Same chair. Is it possible? You guys are just saying things. Is it? It could be if you come at the same time. Amen? The second thing was what? Fellowship. Do you see that? So they continued first in the teaching like this. But then they continued in something else. In fellowship. Praise the name of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the breaking of the bread today. I'm not going to talk about prayers. I want to talk about fellowship. Many people come to the apostles' doctrine. They don't mind coming to the apostles' doctrine. They come to church on Sunday morning. If they don't come to a Life City church, they go to another church. They go to the apostles' doctrine. But that is the last thing they do. Some of them never go for prayer. They don't continue in the breaking of the bread. And they certainly don't continue in fellowship. If this was fellowship, the Bible wasn't going to mention it separately. Attending the apostles' doctrine is not fellowship. It's discipleship. You are in a class. You are being taught something. But you are not having fellowship. When you are sitting here like this, are you fellowshipping with somebody right now?
No.
Except when I say to you, talk to your neighbor. You will never. Some of you don't even talk. Even when I say, talk to your neighbor, you just look at them and say, ha, I will not talk to you. I'll not talk to you. Why should I talk to you? I don't like you. There is a guy who said, when you go to church, before you sit, always locate a beautiful sister. Then sit next to her and relax. And just wait for the pastor to say something. You might be lucky that the pastor say, just give a little kiss to your neighbor. I tell you that they say, come, baby, come. The pastor said it. It's not me, the pastor. The pastor said it. Hey, brother, you understand? Hey, look at him. Please, that's my daughter. I will never say that you should kiss. Ever. Amen. Some people, you know, people are crazy. People go to church with funny ideas. People are strange. What is fellowship? Fellowship is companionship. What do I call it? Companionship. Fellowship is also friendship. Oh, yes. So these people continued in companionship and they continued in what? Friendship. I'm going to go very fast so we can finish. Amen? They continued in friendship. So they used to meet together like this, but that was not the only meeting they were having. They had fellowship. Amen? They had what? Fellowship. fellowship, companionship. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have the apostle doctrine and then you have fellowship. It's two different things. Would you agree with me? There's the apostle doctrine and then there is fellowship. Now, I want to submit to you something very important this morning. The church is the body of Christ. The church is what?
The body of Christ.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The Bible says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves. Some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us that the human body has many parts. But the many parts are not separated. They are connected. Do you understand? They are all connected. The church is the body of Christ. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is part of it. Tell your neighbor you are part of the body of Christ. Amen, brethren.
Amen.
Now, if the Bible says we are part of the body of Christ, it means Paul is telling us that if you want to understand the church, you need to look at a body, a human body. If you can understand how a human body works, because Paul calls the church the body of Christ, means Christ has a body, and the church is that body. And you also have a body. So for you to understand how the church, which is the body of Christ, works, you need to observe a body and see what happens with a body. The first thing you see in a body is that the body has many parts. And the parts don't look the same. And the parts are not the same. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying here. You have a nose. Your nose doesn't look like your ear. Right? They're different. They play different roles. You have legs, then you have hands. You have a stomach. So many parts in your body. The Bible says, we also, we are the body of Christ. We are made of different types of people. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are rich. Some are poor. Some are tall. Some are short. Some are light skin. Yellow bone. Some are charcoal. I am the captain of the charcoals. If you want to know a charcoalistic movement and anointing, I have the charcoalistic anointing. If you want it, I can give it to you. I have it. And I give it for free if you want it. I just lay hands on you, you become charcoal. We are different. Tell your neighbor we are different in the church. But if you want to enjoy church, stop trying to make everybody be like you. The reason people don't enjoy this thing called church is because they don't understand we are different. But we are one body. We are not the same, but we are one body. Everybody sitting here right now, you are part of the body of Christ. Some of us are extrovert, some of us are introvert. All right? Some of us like to smile, some of us like to be serious. We need all types of people. For example, when we have a serious problem in court, do you think we want people to go there and smile? Huh? I don't want people to go there and hey, hey, hey. No. We want serious people. Serious faces.
So even the serious guy and the serious girl in the church has their place. You have your place. You have your place. The key is for us to learn to work together. You know why people leave the church? Oh, they did this to me. Oh, they did that to me. I'm leaving. I'm going away. Do you know the things that your toes have done to your nose before? Or shall I say, do you know the things that your nails have done to your skin before? Your own nails. Or the things that your teeth have done to your tongue before? Maybe that one you will understand easily. That one is easy. Your tongue has suffered under the anointing of your teeth many times. But your tongue has never said, that's it. I'm out of this body. I'm out of, it is too much biting. This is too much biting. And here you are, somebody doesn't greet you twice. You are saying, it's too much biting. I'm out of this church. I don't want anything to do. What is this? What is this? The body, we must understand we are different. Maybe he's biting you now, but tomorrow he's going to help you to chow. Maybe she doesn't greet you today, but tomorrow she will be your bridesmaids. Don't be short-sighted. I said, don't be short-sighted. Think body. Think body. Now, there's something interesting about the body. Do you know that as big as your body is, your body can be broken down to a small piece called a cell? Your whole body, I've got some doctors in the building, they can agree with me on this. Your whole body, there are six systems that work in your body. Muscular system, respiratory system, which one again? Digestive system, nervous system, and there's another one. Huh? Which one? Respiratory. I think there's a respiratory system. It's six of them, if I'm not mistaken. About six systems that are working in your body. Every system can be broken down to a cell. What is a cell? A cell is the smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. The smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. It sounds like a lot of English. Let's check the picture quickly. I want to help you. Reduce the lights. See this. This is your body. This is an organism. There are a lot of things that are happening here. But if we break it down, you can take one organ, maybe your intestine system. Then we take one intestine, that is the organ. Then we enter the intestine, we find what we call tissue. If we enter into those tissues, we find what we call a cell. Now, they even broke it down in the cell. You have the molecules, and the molecules, you have the atoms. I told you before, you must tell your principal, go back to school. I have found a person, this man, he doesn't just teach the scriptures. Some of you are saying, ish. What is this? This is you. Take off the lights. Show them. This is you. You start like this. Actually, you start as the atom, molecule, then a cell. From the cell, we have a tissue. From the tissue, we have your organs, meaning your intestine, all your organs in your body can be broken down to a cell. From the cell, we have the organ system. For example, if you take the intestines, there is a system that digests when you eat. We call it the digestive system. There are many organs that are part of that system. We just took a few. Then that system is inside your body. So when you are walking, we don't see your intestines, but there is a system in you that is working. Put back the lights. I know that I'm owning the charcoal, but not too much. Amen. Are you following?
Give them another picture. Maybe they will understand. Now, take it back, the lights out. Look at this baby. Take off the lights. Look at that baby. You look at his head. There's a brain inside the hair, the head. But that brain has cells. Call them brain cells. The heart muscle cells, red blood cells, nerve cells, fat cells. Every part of your body can be broken down to a cell. We're talking about a body. Your body. When we break down your body, chak, we arrive at the cell. Let's take a very dignified young lady now. When you look at her, nice hair, nice top, nice everything. That's what you are seeing. But inside this girl, there are systems. This is her bladder and the kidneys. And the kidneys can be reduced. That's the organ, the kidneys. You go inside the kidney, you have the tissue. You go inside the tissue, you have a cell. So what I want you to understand today is that your body, when broken down, it boils down to a cell. And the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. Bring back the lights. If we are the body of Christ, and a normal body, for it to function, it starts with a cell, then a tissue, then an organ, then an organ system, then you have the person. Don't you think that in the church, if the church is the body, it means for the church to also function, what do we need? I can't hear anybody. I want to help you understand why your Christianity is not working. Or some of us, our Christianity doesn't really work well. Because the things that people used to do, we don't want to do. We want to do our own thing. Now, there are people, they don't have a problem coming to church on Sunday morning, but they have a big problem attending a cell. Oh, yes. They don't understand that what you are attending here this morning is just one piece of the whole equation. It's not the whole thing. Now, let's look again at a few more scriptures of what these people used to do. Acts chapter 2 verse 46 says, they worshipped in the temple each day. But what do they do next? They met where? In homes. So they worship in the temple. And then what did they do next? They met in homes. So they have the Sunday worship. But apart from the Sunday worship, they have home worship. They met in a home. I'm reminding you that everything that was written for our instruction. For us to know how to do this thing well. And the Bible says you are the body of Christ. If you are the body of Christ and the body functions with cells, where is your cell? Where is your cell? Where is your cell? Do you see that when you say human body, it's the combination of many joining. That cell joining with that cell, with that cell joining. It's many cells that have joined together that produce a human body. Also, for the church to fulfill its purpose, it's got to be many cells. When we come on Sunday morning, it has to be the gathering of cells. Many cells come together to make up the body of Christ. Are you following me? Let me give you another scripture. Are you learning something at all?
Yes.
Acts chapter 5 verse 42. And every day in the temple, and where else? Are you looking the verse? Every day where? In the temple. Can we say that this is a temple? We can say so. Can we say that this is a person's house? But it's not a person's house. Oh, this is a temple. So every day in the temple and in people's homes, they continue to teach and preach the good news about Jesus the Messiah. So there were two types of meetings: the temple meeting and the home meeting. The temple meeting and the home meeting. Most believers these days, because of isolation, they only attend, some who can, the temple meeting. And when they come to the temple meeting, they isolate themselves from everybody. They don't connect. And after they finish the church, they go to their houses. They isolate themselves. They don't go to people's homes, and they certainly don't allow anyone in their homes. Isolation. Isolation. You will agree with me that you don't mind coming to church because you think this is church, but this is just one piece of it. This is not the full church. Until you do those two things, you haven't had church. Church is one. You come to the temple, we worship together, we call that a celebration service. But after we have this one, we have another one where we go to the home of a person. That one is called a cell service. It is the combination of those two that create what you call church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this is the church formula. Look at the church formula. Cell plus celebration equals what? Church. There were two types of meetings, and it is the combination of those two meetings that creates the church. If you say that I'm going to church and what you are referring to is this, then your combination is lacking. Because the first believers were doing two things. They met in the temple and they met in people's homes. When you meet in the temple, we call that a celebration service. We come to celebrate God. We worship Him. We exalt Him. We listen to the word. It's a celebration service. But apart from this service, you must have during the week another place where you go to. It's a smaller one. And there, many things are done that cannot be done here. One of them is called fellowship. How can we fellowship here? The Bible says they continued in fellowship. You are a witness yourself. There are many people you know in this church that you just know their faces. You don't even know their names. You don't know where they stay. You know nothing about them. But we are in the same church. You know why? Because when we are many like this, it's impossible to fellowship. It's impossible. When you join a cell group, you are now in the smallest unit. There you will fellowship. Why? People will know your name. Yes, sir. I might not know your name, but your cell members will know your name. Yes, sir. Can I tell you something? The digestive system might not know the organs of the respiratory system. They don't. I focus on the digestive system. That's what it is. Cell plus celebration equals church. Say it after me. Cell
plus celebration equals
church. Say it one more time.
Cell plus celebration.
So what is church?
Celebration.
Now, what is church?
Celebration.
Church is not where you go on Sunday morning. Church is both where you go on Sunday morning and where you go during the week. It is those two that produce a church experience. Three reasons why you should have a church experience. not just a Sunday morning experience. Number one, because the disciples of the early church were having a church experience. Acts chapter 2 verse 46, like we saw, the Bible says, and they continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. So the early church believers were meeting in the temple, and they were meeting from house to house. Today, because of isolation and selfishness and self-centeredness, believers don't meet from house to house. They don't allow other believers in their house, and they don't enter other believers' houses. And we have cut short what God wants to do. Number two, why must I have a full church experience? Because Paul the apostle, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, was having a church experience. Paul was meeting in the two places. Look at this. Acts chapter 20 verse 20. And the Bible says, and I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable, or from teaching it to you in public, and where? From house to house. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, I was teaching you things that are profitable to you in public. This is a public speaking. But apart from public, I was also teaching from house to house. So the first disciples practiced what I'm teaching now. And Paul the apostle also was practicing it. He was meeting in the temple. And then after the temple, he was meeting from house to house. Now, if Paul was doing it, and the first disciples were doing it, why do you think you will not do it and you will do well? If Paul was attending cell during the week, and the temple service on Sunday, if the first disciples did that, why do you think that you will just come to church on Sunday morning and it shall be well with you? That is where the deception comes from. But I came to teach you. I came to reveal these secrets to you. You need to attend a cell. You need to join a cell. If you are not in a cell, you are not part of the body. Why? Because body are made of cells. Not of body parts, cells. If you are not in a cell, you are not part of the body. You are not part of the body. Can I tell you something? There are many things that are on me right now that are not part of my body. This suit is not part of my body, but it's on me. When I go home, I take it off. It's not part of my body. You can be in something, but you're not part of it. You can come to church on Sunday morning and you're not part of the body. You're just like shoes. After church, somebody's going to take them out. They're not part of it. Can you go home and take off your nose?
No.
And I'm going home now. Let me start taking. I mean, we heard the story of this man who married a lady. She was singing in the praise and worship team. We have a choir now. So you brothers, check. You must look. I tell you, the lady had a beautiful voice. Always nice long hair. Very nice long hair. The brother looked at her and saw the spirit. And said, no, I want to marry you. She said, of course. Before you asked me, I knew. The Holy Ghost told me. You are the one. All of me loves all of you. Hey. Married her, took her to Hawaii for honeymoon. And he entered the room and he started exercising because the match is about to start. Doing push-ups before the match. While he's doing the push-ups, exercising, the lady just does like this. The hair is out. She throws it there. He stops the push-ups. Hey. I said, you know, I thought that was your hair. He says, really? Then she began to unscrew the leg. Then she's doing, no, now he's no more doing push-ups. No, he's no more doing push-ups. Then this part of the hand, this side, she starts unscrewing it. Hey! Now this guy is having diarrhea, palpitations, hypertension, because he doesn't know what she's going to take out next. So, he didn't know that this girl, she borrowed parts. Yeah. So when you marry a person, always ask questions. When you are dating, instead of you going to waste time in the movie, sit down with the person, look at them eye to eye. Those eyes, are they yours? That neck, is it your neck? I told the lady one day that you, that hair you have is not your hair. She said, it's my hair. I bought it. I became very quiet. She says to me, it's my hair. I bought it. It's a true story. Because this story I'm telling you, I also heard it from another pastor. So I said to this girl, that hair you have, it's not your hair. She said, it's my hair. I bought it. Why must you have a full church experience? Because Jesus Christ himself, the man you are claiming to follow, was attending both the Sunday service and the weekly services. And I want to show it to you quickly. And we're going to close. Mark chapter 1 verse 29. The Bible says, after Jesus left the synagogue is like the temple. When you leave the synagogue, what happened next? The next time we will see you in when there is a synagogue time again. Sure. When Jesus left the synagogue, the Bible says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of a person. He went to the home. And I want to show you the importance of a cell just now. Look at what happened in a cell. Things that cannot happen in the church service happened fantastically in a cell. He went to the house of someone. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in the bed. Do you know that many of us come to church looking nice? But there are sick issues at home. No one knows really what is going on with your life. Why? Because when we come to church, everybody looks nice. Even Satan becomes an angel of light in the church. Everything is perfect. People dress nice. I mean, look at the person next to you. Do you think that is how they dress at home? Ask them, is that how you dress at home? Is that how you dress at home? Find them at home with torn pajamas, torn t-shirts, two different slippers. At home, people are themselves. Reality is at home, not here. Ask your neighbor, tell the truth, shame the devil. Is that how you look at home? Is that how you look at home? Most of you, the moment you go home now, you're going to do like this. Then Lord have mercy. You're going to start. Hey! You know, most of my daughters in this house, when they go home now, there will be a movement of their hand from down to the top. And there will be a downward movement. And the person will go from a woman to a boy.
When she entered the bedroom, she was still a woman. When she comes out of the bathroom, she's a boy. Short hair, and she's walking like a boy to the kitchen to go and devour the whole fridge. Oh, you didn't know that women can eat. There is a guy who went to the university. He went to the university. And then they used to have groups where they eat in groups. He saw the brother and said, no, I don't want to eat with those guys. I go with the girls. I know they dealt with him. He started asking to change groups. They sat there. Hey! Women can eat. Don't play with a woman. For you to know who to marry, take her out for. Take her, let me tell you a tip. Take her to Spur. And say to the waiter, give her the menu. Let's see what she's going to order. You know the sister just now. You know her just now. Yeah, she was check that thing. And when you order something, you know, you don't even know the menu. So you just say to the waiter, just bring me something nice. This guy, she's saying, bring it like this, and then I want that. And people are giving orders. You are asking yourself, are we looking at the same menu or is it a different menu? I want these chips and I want this. Hey, when did she learn these things? Then the waiters are coming. When it was you, it was one waiter. When he said three waiters, the first one brings. Have you seen it before? Three waiters are coming with the order of a woman. And then she can identify something is missing. Hey! It's dangerous. So I'm trying to make my point to tell you, the way you look in church is not the way you look at home. Let's be honest. Most of us fake it here in church. We put nice makeup. We wear a suit like I'm wearing. Do you think when you find me in my house, the Ibis 48, you find me wearing a suit with a tie, with these nice shoes sitting there? For what? I don't do that. But you're spending more time at home than you're spending in this building. That's why we need to go where you stay. So Jesus went to the house of these guys and he found a problem. Can I tell you something? If we come to your house now, we're going to find a problem. Or problems. Depending. It's normal. Even if you come to my house now, you will find problems. I'm not a saint. I'm honest with you. Things are not the same here than there. And where you need God is not here. It's there at home. It's where things are bad. Here, everything is perfect. A home cell is a church in a home. Now we are taking the church in the home. So Jesus entered the home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed. People are saying that Simon was never happy with Jesus because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. You see, when the mother-in-law is sick, he's got a bit of rest. When Jesus arrived in the house and he healed the mother-in-law of Peter, then she was back. Amen. It's not in the Bible. I'm just telling you. Sick in bed with high fever. There are high issues in the house. High issues. They told Jesus about her right away. Hallelujah. Look at what happened. So he went to her bedside. What happens in the cell? In a home cell. You see, in the church, I'm standing here and you are there. In a home cell, I can come right to the bedside. It's closer. It's closer. This is what all the cells that are here, listen, this is what cell is supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to get closer by the bedside.
It's no more the preaching. I'm now by your bedside. My brother, I'm right here. Right here. I'm right here. It's different from me being on top there. If the mother-in-law of Peter was in church, there's no way Jesus could be by her bedside. This is a setting that is only possible in a cell. It means a cell gives an opportunity to get very close to a person. You get close. Look at what happened next. Then he took her by the hand. See what can happen in a cell? How many hands can I touch in a church service on a Sunday morning? How many people can I take by the hand? He can come to the house and he's told about a problem. If you tell me about your problem here, by the time the church, if many people have told me about their problem, I don't have the time to go to the bedside of the problem and to take you by the hand. Many people usually feel like the church doesn't care. Why? You are not in a cell. It is only in a cell where you can experience true care. In a cell. In a cell, somebody can come by your bedside, my brother. And they can listen to you. And then they can take you by the hand. In a cell. In a cell. Not in a church. Jesus didn't do this in the temple. He didn't do this in the synagogue. There is no way you will find this in the synagogue. But in the house, he came by the bedside. I mean, he's very close. He can listen. He can hear your heartbeat. And then he can touch you. Hold you by the hand. Look at what he did next. He helped her to sit up. That is the third thing that happened in the cell. In the cell, you are helped to sit up. Many people are lying down, even when they are walking. They are flat. They come to church, they are still flat. I came to church many times, I didn't feel nothing. How many of you, you go to church, you don't feel nothing sometimes? Let's be honest. You don't always feel something every time you go to church. Maybe this morning you are not even feeling nothing. The only thing you felt was, when I was singing for my wife, you felt something a little bit. Oh, wow. But then the rest, you're not feeling nothing. I'm talking here, you think this man is talking for too long. I must go home. It's too hot here. What is happening with this man? Can't he feel the heat? You are not feeling anything. But in the cell, we can help you to sit up. So it is wrong of us to expect to have a by the bedside experience in the temple, to be held by the hand in the temple, and to be helped to sit up in the temple. These are things that are only possible in a home cell. And look at what he did next. After he did those three things, the high fever left the woman. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus prayed for her. Look at that verse. There was no prayer involved. Most of your problems you are feeling, prayer is not needed. You just need a touch. Just a touch. Just somebody to show that they care. Most problems, though. Sometimes Jesus didn't pray. Jesus simply went by the bedside. He listened. Then he held her by the hand. Then he helped her to sit up. Then the fever left. Do you know what is supposed to happen in a cell? Things are supposed to leave people just because of the way they are touched. Now, I'm not saying that if you are a cell leader, next week you go, all of you guys sit here. Oh. 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 Stop it. I'm saying touch people in their hearts. Care enough to want to know what is going on. When you sit by the bedside, it's to listen, right? To listen. Some of my deepest conversations with my wife are when we are in the bed. We are just sitting, lying there. And she would tell me her deepest secrets. And I would tell her my deepest secrets. Do you think that we can come and sit here in the church and I start telling her, I start telling my wife my secrets? This is a holy place. No, this is a holy place. Everybody's holy. But in the bedroom, by the bedside, in the home, a different environment, people can open up. People can open up. If you are trying to date a girl, you try to ask her out at the church, she refused. It's because you are cuckoo. This is a holy place. Tell your neighbor, this is a holy place. It's a holy place. Just take her to Wimpy with 50 rand. Let her sit down. Organize a little cocktail for her. Then pop the question. You'll be surprised. It's a different place. It's a different environment. And she can feel your heart. And she can say yes. That's when you go to a cell, it's a different place. Are you following what I'm saying? Our cells are going to work. Our cell leaders are going to become wiser. Things are going to happen. A problem was solved, not in the church, in a cell. And look at what happened next. She prepared a meal for them. What am I saying? Brothers and sisters, I'm closing with this. All of us cannot prepare a meal for Jesus in the building. The opportunity might never even present itself. But in a cell, each one of us will have an opportunity to do something for God. When we all come like this, we cannot all work for God like this. If we are all singing, who's going to watch? If we are all preaching now, who's going to listen? But in a cell, you can be given your own opportunity now to do something for Jesus. Jesus has healed you. Now you have an opportunity in a cell to also serve him. So she prepared a meal for Jesus. If you want to serve God, you can sit in the church all your life. You will never have one opportunity to serve God. But you can join a cell. And just now you will see something that you can do. And you're going to start serving. Look at all the things that can happen in a cell. That cannot happen in the church. In the church, it's just teaching. But in the cell, we can touch you. Things can leave you. The real things that are fighting you can come out. Yes. Your problems can find an answer. So what am I saying today? I'm saying God expects each one of us to join a cell. You are quiet for me. Each one of us must join a cell. Become part of a cell. And when you join that cell, expect a touch, but also be ready to prepare a meal. Be ready to serve. In the cell, we get touched and we also touch. It's a two-way thing. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive City Church, Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.